must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. And when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. That's some tough preaching right there, all right? And Paul is writing to them here. Basically, what they were doing was they were combining the Lord's Supper, and they were just combining it with one of their love feasts, and they were making it where it was basically a potluck dinner, and everybody was coming and eating and calling it the Lord's Supper. And it wasn't the Lord's Supper. And Paul was making sure they understood what you're doing is wrong. You're doing this in such a manner that there's no reverence given unto God over this. And so you're doing it in a manner to where there's divisions among you. And also, he said they'd come together, and the people that didn't have any money and couldn't afford food, they'd have to go hungry because they couldn't eat at a potluck. Hey, come on, I need somebody. Let me preach right here for just a few minutes. We got some people, we had potluck dinners around here, and we'll have something going on around here, and somebody can't bring something, and they're taking a plate home, and we got folks getting upset about it. Don't get quiet. Everybody know who I'm talking about. All right. Listen, there's some folks in this world that don't have it as good as you and I do. I need somebody to help me right here. And the bad thing is that they're living in our community and they're struggling. While you and I are throwing away food, they're scrapping every piece that they can get just so they can feed their family. I'll leave that right there. But I will like to show you that this is something that Paul addresses here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. You get together and you eat and you bring food, and those that you, some of you, you're bringing steaks while others are bringing rice, and you eat not eating the rice and not letting them eat the steak. Somebody say amen. So Paul says, should I praise you in all this? He said, I praise you not. He says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. Now this coming, Paul lets us know right now, this what he's fixing to say came from Christ himself. What he's fixing to tell us came from God himself. He's saying, I'm fixing to deliver to you what God has told me to tell you. Okay? And you need to understand that, because Paul wasn't there at the Last Supper. He wasn't saved, so he wasn't there at the Last Supper. He didn't partake of it. He wasn't there when it happened. So he got his revelation from the Lord. The Lord told him, this is what I want you to say. And he says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And let me go back to that. Did you notice it says in the same night in which he was betrayed? It wasn't the same night he was taken by the Roman soldiers. It was the same night that he was betrayed. I mean, I'll just move on from that. But let me say this. It was one of his disciples that betrayed him. And Christ still loved him. I can't get away from this. I'll never forget Brother Mike Norman said this. He said, sometimes you got to wash your Judas's feet. I got to thinking about that thing, man. It just never left me. That Jesus knew about the betrayal, and yet he still washed the feet of Judas. And we have such a hard time forgiving somebody that's done us wrong 15 years ago. Let me go on. Is everybody all right? The Bible says in verse number 24, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Not only are we to do this in remembrance, but we're to do this to proclaim not only his death, but that he's coming back again. Amen. The Bible goes on and says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. This is what the service is for tonight. For each one of us to examine ourselves. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That word sleep right there doesn't mean they're taking a nap. It means they're dead. All right? And it goes on, he says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. As we look at this tonight, we'll stop our reading right there. But as we look at this tonight, I want everybody to understand, tonight, before we partake of the Lord's Supper, we want to do a self-examination. This is a time where you and I take a good look in the mirror. And I ain't talking about a physical mirror, but I'm talking about a spiritual mirror of ourselves and where we are with God. Now, this sermon is not to deter you from partaking of the Lord's Supper. Because I believe that every one of us, if we're saved, we ought to partake of the Lord's Supper. That means that there may be some things that you need to get right, but you need to partake of the Lord's Supper. The Bible says that when we do this, basically, we're preaching a message. We're preaching a message to God Himself. We're preaching a message to the devil. We're preaching a message to the world that Jesus Christ died, was buried, rose again, and He's coming back for us. So it is important, I believe, it's one of the two ordinances given in the church. The other one being the ordinance of baptism. Baptism has nothing to do with regeneration. Somebody help me out right here. There's a big, there is a denomination that preaches that mess, but it is an ordinance that is given to you and I. Baptism is an ordinance, and the Lord's Supper is. Now, some people say, well, how often are we supposed to do it? There's churches out there that do communion every single week. And what I notice about churches that do it every single week is they don't show any reverence for it every single week. Have y'all ever noticed that? That when you, let me give you an example. There was people out at the chemical plant, and we had some dangerous equipment out there. We had signs on it that said, don't stick your fingers up in here because you might lose one. Somebody say amen. First time you've seen that thing, boy, everybody's like, I ain't sticking my fingers up in there, amen. I mean, it was all. But as we got more familiar with it, day in and day out, and the more we got familiar with it, the more we, you know what, did some dumb thing. I need somebody to help me right here. How many of y'all have ever been injured or ever got hurt from something, and when you went back and thought about it, you knew better than to do what you did? All right, everybody raise your hand. Don't be lying. Bunch of lying. No, I ain't. All of y'all need to get right now because you lied. You knew better and you went ahead and done it anyhow. And then, I mean, how many times? Hey, how about this one? I got a friend. That's a whole family, as a matter of fact. They're the Edgies. We probably got some people on Facebook watching us that knows exactly who I'm talking about. And I'll tell you this. About half of the doggone families lost a finger. You know why? Because they stuck it up under a lawnmower. Come on, I need somebody to help me right here. Common sense says don't stick your finger up under a lawnmower. Is everybody all right? Did y'all not know that? Do I need to preach another message right now? Do not. Hey, listen, there's blades turning up under there. You do not want to stick anything that you want to keep up there. All right? These boys don't have fingers because they, well, I was just trying to pull something out of the lawnmower. I need somebody to help me right here. What is it we say? Common sense ain't so common anymore, all right? And I love all of them. I'm picking on them, and it'll probably get back to them, but I love all of them, and they know it. Anyhow, we get too familiar with something, and we lose respect for it. That's my point in all of that. And oftentimes with the Lord's Supper, when we do it over and over again, we lose respect and reverence for what it really is and what it involves. And so we want to make sure we go back and we want to see this thing tonight. I want to preach this real quickly and we'll be done. And I wrote down as a transitional statement that every single one of us should and can partake of the Lord's Supper worthily by practicing the following principles. And I believe this is every time. Every time you go, you're going to hear it in some form or fashion, but you're going to hear the same thing. I believe that God has shown us right here through Paul that there has to be unity. And I believe that unity is required in a church for anything. I was teaching the boys, when I preach at churches and preach revivals, this is one thing that I think the churches lack is unity in their church. And Paul says here, there's divisions among you. There's things that you're doing. There's sects. There's different divisions among you. And what it's causing is causing a great divide, and you're not accomplishing what you should for Christ. But when it starts happening in the church, what do we need to do? We need to get rid of it. And so first off, I want to take a look at it, if you will, that there is unity. There unity is required with the saints. This is a thing that I love to preach right here, and I think is very important. In chapter number 11 and verse 18 and 19, it says this: "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifested among you." We see that unity with the saints. For us to properly partake of the Lord's Supper, we need to get right with one another. I told somebody today, we were sitting at the table over at Brian's, and Brian's ordination afterwards, they had a little finger food and everything, and we were sitting there, and a man that was heading it up, the man that led the thing, he come and sat down beside me, and he was telling me about some of the things that had gone on in the church in prior times, and he was talking about different families that are getting mad at each other and everything. And I told him, I made this statement, and maybe it just is, it was profound to me, but anyhow, I made this statement. I said, we all read about the Hatfield and McCoys. I said, we all read about it in history, but we actually all partake of it in church. Somebody say amen. Because there are so many families, there's so many things going on in the church, and there's somebody in this church. Listen, somebody's going to do you wrong. Somebody's going to say something that you don't like. Somebody's going to do something that you don't like. Do you know how many times and how many opportunities we have when we meet together and we're in conversation together to say something that'll rub you the wrong way? I need somebody to help me right here. And some of you take that on into worship. We take that on, and some of you, listen, somebody said something to you about your dress. Somebody said something to you about the way you did something, and that happened, and it's happened like 2 or 3 years ago, and you still ain't got over it. Man, why y'all getting quiet? I mean, the only person that's helping me is Brother Edwin. Is he the only one that's right with everybody in here? Listen, there's somebody in here. We look at them. We won't listen to nothing they have to say. We can't even stand to look at them. I have people in here talking about, I don't know why you got this going on, Brother Robbie, but I just can't concentrate. Do you know what they did? Yeah, I do know what they did. Do you know what you did? That's right. I need somebody to help me right here. We look at each other and we look at somebody, and if their sin doesn't match up with ours, their sin is worse than ours. And what it does is it causes division. Not only do we see division in there when it comes to our sins, but we see division in there when it comes to our social classes. Somebody ain't got as much money as somebody else, and we got, listen, I'm telling you, if we're not careful, you'll end up with this little group over here, and they got money, this little group over here, they ain't got money, and we'll kind of keep to ourselves. That ain't how it's supposed to be. We're a family. I need somebody to say amen. We're a family, and we're supposed to be a family. If we're going to project that to the world, and we're going to let the world know that we're a family, then we're going to have to resolve issues inside the family. That means that you and I, we need to get right with one another. You know what that means? That means if you're running your mouth about me, you need to come see me. That means if I'm running my mouth about you, then I need to come see you. And the same goes on for every individual of the church. It doesn't matter if it's a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, or what. I love these type of services. You know why? Because we always got somebody that gets right with somebody else. And that's the way it should be. We should not be holding things against one another. Don't come down here and partake of the Lord and what He did for you and I. He forgave us for our sin. He forgave you for everything that you did. If you can't forgive somebody else, then don't partake of this. Say, but you don't know what they did to me. No, but I know what I did to him. And if he can say, forgive them, then bless God, I can forgive somebody else. It's amazing to me how much you and I have transgressed the Lord. How much you and I have transgressed and sinned towards the Lord. And yet somebody does one thing to us, and we'll hold it over their head for the rest of their life. I need somebody to say amen. I'm talking about some of you, you still mad about somebody that said something to you in high school. Get over it. I need somebody to help me. Praise God. I hate going to Brunswick. I walk around Brunswick and I got everybody coming up to me like, hey, Robbie, how are you doing? I'm doing great. I have no idea who you are right now. How many of y'all do that? Come on now. I need somebody to say, I ain't got a clue. I do it all the time. Somebody was, where was we at, Michelle? Where were we at when the people started coming up to me and started saying my golf tournament? I was at a golf tournament this week, and I had people coming up to me. Hey, preacher, how you doing? Hey, who are you? This was a guy. Let me tell you how they knew me. This is cool. The Carters. I did Miss Leslie Carter. I did her grandmother's funeral in Hamilton County. This was a Hamilton County was putting on this golf tournament, something in Hamilton County. All these people that was playing golf, all kind of people playing golf, they'd heard me preach that woman's funeral. So they're all walking up to me, hey, Brother Robbie, how you doing? I'm like, hey, I'm doing great. Who are you? Amen. You know why I'm saying y'all this? I don't either. No, I'm just kidding. I'm telling you this for this reason. Them people that I don't know, them people that I went to school with, all that other stuff, you so worried about what they did to you 18, 20 years ago, I don't even recognize the people I went to high school with. What's your point, Brother Robbie? My point is they have not affected your life. They have not affected your life. The only way that they're affecting your life is living inside that little brain of yours. That's holding bitterness towards them. Somebody help me right there. Other than that, you just forget about them. I need somebody to help me. So here's the thing. How can we as a family, if we're supposed to be a family, then we got to resolve some things amongst ourselves. We have family meetings at our house. One of the youngins get in trouble. Guess what happens? The whole group comes in. We have a group session. And we talk about what somebody has done wrong. And that way everybody knows, and that way the kids that haven't done wrong, they know that I'll kill them too if they do wrong. Somebody say amen. Amen. But we resolve it as a family. Right. And church is supposed to be the same way. Let me say this. I don't care if they're a different color than you. That's right. Oh, we like to holler about that now. We like to get excited about that because that's what we're supposed to do. But I wonder, would you treat somebody different because of the color of their skin? It's either a gospel for all or it's a gospel for none. You can't pick and I need somebody to help me now. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's got to be unity. For us to partake of this worthily, there has to be unity among the saints. You need to be right with one another. You need to be right with me. You need to be right or whatever. And let me say this for those of you watching Facebook Live and going back and running your mouth to everybody else. That ain't right with me. That's right. Amen. Amen. You got some problem, come to me. You got a problem with somebody else, go to them. That's right. It's real simple. Hey, I need somebody to help me right here. We're grown-ups. I do this in my premarital counseling. I sit them down and I say, look, we're not in middle school anymore. So this screaming and hollering at one another and calling each other names and all that stuff, that's something we should have already grown out of. That's right. Now we're adults. We sit down, we talk about the issue, we figure out a resolution, and then we both commit to fixing the problem. Dalton's going to get on the piano. This is something we do different. Sermon's not over. But what I have learned is that oftentimes you preach one point, and by the time I get to point number three, you done forgot point number one. If God's dealing with you right now, I want you to get up and I want you to deal with it right now. The altars will be open, heads will be bowed. This is an opportunity for you to come down here, get on the altar. Maybe there's somebody that you're holding a grudge against. Maybe there's somebody that you have bitterness towards. Come turn it loose. Come leave it at the altar. As the song said tonight, come nail it to the cross. People are coming, the altars are open. Come nail it to the cross. Mm-hmm. need to, you go to somebody and you'll get right with them. We got time tonight. I'm thankful for the forgiveness of God, the forgiveness of the cross. Father, Lord, we love you. God, thank you for your blessings. Lord, we know in a church this size and with this many different people and personalities, that Lord, there'll be times in our life and times in this ministry to where we rub people the wrong way. We do something that we wish we hadn't have. We say something. God, I pray, Lord, that we act mature and that we go to each other, Lord, to Lord, resolve the issue before it becomes a problem that divides us. Lord, I pray tonight that if there be anybody here, Lord, that has a problem with somebody in this church, God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that they get it right tonight before we carry on. Lord, that they may partake of this peacefully, Lord, with the peace of God in their spirit. And Lord, we'll be sure to thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, as we continue on in the scripture, I notice not only do we have a unity of the saints, but we're also to have unity with the Savior. Now, we have an open communion here, and what that means is that you don't have to be a member to partake of communion here at our church. But what the Bible does require out of you and I is that we're saved. The Bible, we're talking about what Christ did for us on the cross. We're looking at the scripture, and the Bible says in verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me, what he did on the cross. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. You and I, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are showing the Lord's death. We are remembering the Lord's death. And so in unity with the Savior, not only are we to be unity with one another and the saints, but we're to have unity with the Savior in regards to our conversion. That means that if you're not saved in this building tonight, then you need to be saved. I need somebody to help me tonight. The fact of the matter is it doesn't matter what your church membership is. It doesn't matter how long you've been coming to this church or how long you've gone to grandma's church or how long you've been prayed for by this church. If you're not saved, then don't partake of this. I need somebody to help me. The Bible says for you and I to examine ourselves. Do you know that I have seen people, I have seen friends that have literally gone to church for years that turned around and got saved later in life. I remember Miss Lucy's one of them. January 29th or 31st, somewhere right in that time. Miss Lucy, she'd been a Sunday school teacher here at this church for 19 years. God convicted her of her need of salvation and she got saved. Can I say this? It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church. The fact of the matter is that there's coming a day where you will give an account on your own. Hey, I need some help. And mama and daddy ain't going to be up there arguing for you. Hey, why should I let you into heaven? Because my mama says so. Is everybody all right? Do not make me go water boy on y'all. Mama ain't going to be standing with you before God giving an account for you. The fact of the matter is every single one of us need to do a self-examination. The Bible says that there's a test of salvation. Was there conviction? Was you under conviction when you got saved? If you wasn't under conviction, then I hardly believe that you were saved. Why do you say that, preacher? Because the Bible said that a man is drawn to God. I remember when September 28, 1997, when I got saved, there was something going on inside of me. I don't know what the preacher was preaching. I didn't care what the preacher was preaching because all I was hearing was, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. And my heart was about to beat out of my chest. Why? Because I was under conviction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I came and I got saved. September 28, 1997, I was 22 years of age and had been going to church since I was about 7 or 8. My mama was making me go to church. I'd heard every gospel sermon. By that time, I had preached sermons as a teenager, and I was still lost. I know preachers that have gotten saved. I know preachers' wives that have gotten saved. I know preachers that need to be saved. Somebody say amen right there. But you and I are to have unity with the Savior. Don't partake of this if you're not saved. Somebody say amen. Unity in our conversion. Not only that, but unity in our cleanliness. Is everybody all right? In other words, we're not to partake of this supper when we have sin in our life. And I say, preacher, we all sin. Yes, we do. There's a difference between repentant sin and unrepentant sin. I don't know why people can't understand this. People post all kinds of stuff on Facebook about how our church accepts this and accepts that. A repentant sinner is, they repent of their sin. They may sin, but they repent of it. A unrepentant sinner sins and says, I don't care what God says. This is what I'm going to do. There's a big difference in that. I need somebody to help me. There's a big difference in saying to God, I know it's a sin. I'll call it a sin, but I'm not changing what I'm doing. That's unrepentant sin. Repentant sin says, God, this is a sin. I am sorry. And I see that sin just like you do. And confession of that sin is made, and we turn from it. Is everybody all right? Now, here's the thing. You and I, tonight, I need somebody to help me right here. And you ain't going to like this, but I need when I do premarital, or not premarital counseling, when I do counseling with premarital counseling, you know you're sinning, all right? But I'm just picking. When I do counseling with people and they come into my office, I tell them, we get started. And this is what I generally tell them. When they tell me what's going on, I generally tell them, I say, listen, and I made up this statistic, but it sounds great, all right? 95%. Probably higher than that. Of everything that you and I go to, every one of us that come through that office, we have unconfessed sin in our life. I need somebody to help me. We sin so much that we can't even keep count of it. You don't believe me? Check this out. I asked somebody this morning, I preached a message last Sunday on City of Refuge. I asked my Sunday school class, what I preached last week, all of them looked at me like the nut. Y'all hear me? Huh? You preached last week? We had church service. Did we have church service last week? Huh? Y'all are bad. Don't even talk about it. Who said that it wasn't that bad? You hush. Hey, I'm talking about I can preach something, turn right around that night and ask y'all what I preached this morning. Y'all be looking at me like, Let me get my notes out. Am I right about it? All right, now, here's the thing. We're so bad at keeping up with things, but yet we think that we can keep up with all of our sin. And then come at the end of the night, let me tell you how your prayer life is. Lord, forgive me for all my many sins. Serious? Is that confession? I need somebody to help me. Confession is this. God, forgive me for cussing that woman out while I was sitting in Winn-Dixie. I need somebody to help me right here. God, forgive me for cussing that person out when they cut me off. I got people looking at the floor. It ain't time for this. I ain't get an invitation yet. Hey, God, forgive me for... Is everybody all right? Hey, that's confession. The Bible says that when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I'll say this. I believe that's why Paul tells us that we are to pray without ceasing. Yep. Because the Bible said, John told us that if we say we have no sin, we lie. And the truth is not in us. We deceive ourselves, he said, and the truth is not in us. So I believe God give us that so that we know that for us to stay right with God, we're going to need constant communication with him. Now let me say this. As many of you walked in here and y'all ain't prayed since last Sunday. Don't get quiet on me right here. Hey, and I'm just joking, all right? But listen, there's some of us, and you know it, you've let some things slip. And this is an opportunity tonight. Hey, how about let's get clean? If we're going to partake of this worthily, then let's make sure we do it. Unity with the Savior. Unity in our conversion. Unity in our cleanliness. How about this one? Unity in our commitment. Yes, our commitment. I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing like having somebody that's half committed and having to depend on them. Yeah. Amen. We'll get so, I'm finna have some fun. Is everybody all right? We get so mad at somebody if there was a practice that was called for our youngin' and we showed up at the practice and the coach didn't show up. Come on now, I need somebody to help me. We've been calling the people up, talking about, man, what kind of coach you put over this thing? We don't even have, coach don't even show up. We'll call him up on the first time it happens. Boy, we'd be so mad about it. Y'all getting quiet because you know where I'm going with this. But yet we'll sign up for the church and never come to what we signed up for. Church doors are open and we'll never show up for. I need somebody to help me. Hey, have y'all ever heard this? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Maybe the commitment issues that you're having outside the church is because of commitment issues that you have. Well. I just made to have church mad. Hey, I love you. I wouldn't tell you that if I hadn't dealt with it myself. Listen, you and I need to be committed to the Lord. How committed are you? How committed am I? I'll ask the question to myself, how committed am I? Yes, I'm here every Sunday, but am I putting everything I got into it? Am I putting everything into my study? Am I putting everything into my prayer life? That's a question that I must examine myself, and I'm asking you to do the same. Not only are we to have unity with the Savior, unity with the saints, but we're also to have unity with the Savior. We're not going to do this one. I'm going to move on to the third point, and then we're going to give the last invitation. Not only we see unity with the saints, unity with the Savior, but unity with the suffering. The Bible says in each instance that we are to this do in remembrance of me. And in verse number 23 through 26, each one of them, this do in remembrance of me. You and I are to remember in suffering. When we partake of this, it's not just so we go through the motions and not just so we can partake of a little piece of bread and drink of some juice, which is, by the way, grape juice. Somebody say amen, it ain't alcohol. I know some of y'all was excited about coming tonight. Praise God. We drinking wine at the church. No, it's grape juice. 100% grape juice. 100%. I know y'all mad, but y'all got plenty in the cabinet. But anyhow. How do you know that? Your kid's been asking for prayer that you'd stop drinking. I'm just kidding. All right, I'm kidding. Hey, I will say this. If you got children around here, you better be careful what you do in front of them. Amen? Because I promise you, they'll pull it out. Hey, they have no discretion. I got a prayer request. What's your prayer request? My mama drinks a lot. Yes, baby, we all supposed to drink water. No, she drinks this stuff called tequila. Kids, man, they'll tell on you. We're to remember his suffering. We're to remember his sacrifice. We're to remember his sovereignty. So we take a look at this tonight. I want to say before we ever partake of this, we're to remember while we partake of this, the Lord's suffering. You need to understand something tonight. We're not just going through the motions here, but we're doing this in remembrance of what Christ went through for you and I. We're doing it in remembrance of a disciple that betrayed him. One that walked with him for 3 years. One that he loved and cared for and washed his feet, that betrayed him to the Roman soldiers, that betrayed him to be killed. We look at that night as he went in the Garden of Gethsemane and we see him as he bows down on his face. We see the blood, the sweat drops, if as a blood, the Bible says, as it were. As he cried out in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane and asked, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I want you to know something. He was a willing sacrifice. He was a willing participant in the cross. But there was a side to him that wanted God. I need somebody to help me right here. If it be possible, he said, let this cup pass from me. If there's another way, let this cup pass from me. And yet he still was obedient to the cross. He went all the way for you and I. As he went through the mock trials of that night and the beatings of that night, the scourgings that led up to the cross, we see the cross and we see it as some picture that hangs on the wall. We see it as some emblem that we hang on a necklace around our neck. But I want you to know that it was a bloody thing that happened for you and I. It was a senseless thing that happened for you and I as they beat him mercilessly. Did I get that right? As they did that to him, all because, listen, all because of me and you. I need somebody to help me. All because of you and I, not because of what he did. All because of you and I. Pilate said this about him, I find no fault in this man. And yet they proceeded. They plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head and hit it, smote it with a reed. They scourged him with a cat of nine tails. They went on and on and on with these beatings, these mock blindfolding him, punching him, pulling. The Bible says they plucked the hair out of his beard, spit on him, wagged their heads at him, did all of this, not because of what he'd done wrong, but because of my sin. As Barabbas was there to be placed on that cross, he was let go. He was let go. The same transgression, the same accusations that he was guilty of, Christ, who wasn't guilty of them, died on his cross. The night before they took him, the day after, they placed him on a cross. They didn't make that cross for him. That cross was Barabbas' cross. And that cross was mine and yours. Christ died for our sins. It doesn't matter how bad. Come on now, I need somebody to help me. All of our sins are different. But yet he died. The same sacrificial death had to be done for my sins as it had to be for yours. I was the one that placed him on that cross. I'm the reason that he had to die. And when we partake of this tonight, you need to understand that. His body was broken, not for me, and not just for me, but for you. His body was broken. I'm thankful that his body was broken for us, but we need to make that personal and realize that Christ died for you. If you would have been the only person, he would have still went to the cross for you. Make it personal tonight. This do in remembrance of me. The blood that was shed for you. The beatings that he took for you. Yes, sir. We're not to take this lightly. We're not to do this every time we turn around until it just becomes a routine and we just get to the point where it don't mean nothing anymore. Christ died for you. And every Christian in here ought to be thankful for that tonight. Yes, sir. And give thanks tonight as we break bread, as we drink and take of that cup. We're to remember his body beaten for us and broken for us, his blood shed for us. I pray that you got right where you needed to be with somebody else. But this is the invitation, heads bowed and eyes closed. We're fixing to do partake of the Lord's Supper. If you're not saved in this building tonight, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, if you'd be honest with me tonight, I want you to do this. I want you to look right up at me. Before we go any farther, we want to get this thing nailed down and get it right. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I do not know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. If that's you, I want you to look right up at me. Before we go any farther, let's get this thing right. Is there anybody be honest with me tonight and say, "Preach, I'm not sure. I don't know where I'd spend eternity." Is anybody like that? Thank you. It's okay. I'm not going to embarrass you. It's all right. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? It's time you examine yourself. Better for us to judge ourselves than Him. Now listen, there's been a few look up at me. I want to say this. Why don't you get that thing right tonight? I got somebody to take a Bible and show you how to be saved tonight. It's your choice. We're not forcing nothing on you. It's your decision to make. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to tell anybody you looked up at me. I'm not going to go around and have somebody come to you. This is your choice. But if you'll let me help you tonight, what I want you to do is I want you to get up out of your seat and I want you to come right here to where I'm at. Get this thing taken care of tonight. Maybe there's somebody in here while they're being dealt with salvation. Don't forget, I preached that point about us getting clean and getting right with God. Not only are we to have unity with the saints, but we're to have unity with God, and that requires that you and I are right with God in our relationship. So we're going to take a few minutes. Christians are already coming to the altar. I want you to come down to the altar. This is a time of prayer. This is a time of confession. This is a time of repentance. Come give it to God. Come confess that sin. Repent of it. Turn away from it. Coming. There's still room at the altar. Thankful that 1 John 1:9, Lord, tells us that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. God, I'm thankful that we have an advocate with the Father, someone we can come to through confession, Lord, and find forgiveness. God, I pray that we treat others the same way you treat us. And offering forgiveness, Lord, as you do us. Lord, I pray for this one that's gone back to be saved tonight. God, we give thanks for it. Lord, thank you. Lord, I pray that you'd be with them. Lord, give understanding, give clarity. Lord, I pray tonight that they'll trust you as their personal Savior. God, thank you for a sweet service. I always love these. I'm thankful for the family that you've given us, the home that you've provided for us. And Lord, tonight, Lord, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, Lord, I pray that all hearts and minds are clear. Lord, that we're at peace with you. Lord, I pray, God, that through our lives, Lord, you're given honor and glory. Lord, I pray that others hear the message. Lord, not about our lives, but God, about your life, about your death. Lord, how you died for us. Lord, about your burial, how you went to the grave for us. Lord, about your resurrection, Lord, and your coming again. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that, Lord, as we partake of this and do this, that we do it in remembrance of your sufferings. God, realizing that it's personal, God, you did this for us. You died on that cross for us. Your blood was shed for us. Your body was beaten and mangled for us. It was our cross to bear. The wrath of God should have been poured out on our lives for our sin. But God, you became sin so that we might be righteous. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for your suffering. Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, there's so many other things that we can be thankful for and should be thankful for. God, I pray tonight that, Lord, as we partake of this and as we leave out of here, we do it in a spirit of thanksgiving. And Lord, that you're honored. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Saved, and thanks for that. We're going to get started, but I'm going to try to give them time as we do have some workers back there that's wanting to partake of this tonight as well. And so anyhow, but ain't God good?
Amen.
Amen. He sure has been, and I sure do appreciate it. Brother Matt and Brother Sheldon, if you will, if you two will do the honors. Appreciate it. ahead and pass them out, fellas, if you will. I ask Brother Matt to pray, thanking the Lord for this bread which represents his bruised body beaten for you and I.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done for us, Lord. Lord, thank you for going through all the trials, Lord, that you went through for us, Lord. Thank you for, Lord, enduring the cross, Lord, and all that led up to it, Father. Lord, thank you for putting your body through all that for us, Father. Lord, I pray that, Lord, through this token, Lord, we can remember what you endured at the cross and all that led up to it. Lord, I love you, and I pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 24, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. I'm going to ask Brother Sheldon at this time to give thanks for this juice, which represents the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us for the redemption of sins.
Thank you, Father, for an opportunity to honor you tonight with the Lord's Supper. Father, I thank you even more for what it represents. And Father, I just thank you for the shedding of your blood. Father God, without that, there would be no redemption of sin. There would be no salvation. And Father God, so we thank you for doing this for us. Definitely not because we were worthy, but just because you loved us.
Yes.
So Father, I thank you for all that we have. I praise you, Father God, for this. God forbid we ever take it for granted. May it ever mean something for us, Father God. Thank you so much. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen. The Bible says in verse number 25 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." I'll ask you at this time to pass those cups down to one end of the aisle or the other, and we should just be able to go. Let's do it all towards the center, if y'all will. The Bible says, I believe it's in Mark, that after they partook, they left out singing a song. So we're going to sing a hymn tonight, and it's Amazing Grace. Most of you know it, so we won't have it on the screens, but we'll sing a verse of it, and then we'll be dismissed, all right? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Y'all sing this with me.
Praise God, praise God.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much, God, for everything that we've seen here tonight, everything that we were able to participate in. God, thank you for moving in our services, Lord. Thank you for your blessings. Lord, I pray tonight as we go out of here that it's not just a service, but I pray tonight we take it home to our families. And Lord, we remember what you went through, Lord, that we might have everlasting life. God, thank you for loving us, a sinner, condemned unclean. But God, you've loved us, shed your blood for us. And Lord, we are redeemed. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for all your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Thank you, Brother Morris. Thank y'all for having me.